Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We're a couple of best friends and credentialed NBA media people who talk about the Clippers 5 days a week.
Hell
as
yeah.
Locked On Clippers.
Awesome.
Part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Mm-hmm.
Be sure to check out the Locked On NBA podcast. They had all sorts of stuff leading up to the draft. You can go through that if you want to learn more about some of these picks the Clippers traded up for.
And we got a whole, we found out before we started recording this, we got a whole mess of picks.
Got a whole mess of picks. So we're going to open things up today talking about sort of some post-draft reactions from the fans out there in Clipper Nation. If you have some takes on it, feel free to shoot those over at Locked On Clips. We'd love to know what you think. And then we're going to be talking more new Clippers. Clippers signed some more guys post-draft. And then we're going to talk a little bit about some free agents too and, you know, our expectations if they've changed at all, as well as some names to look out for. And then in shavings, which is where we kind of wrap up all the loose ends of the NBA, we have another ridiculous ACC award
Dude,
for
you.
Dude,
these things are, this is a joke at this point. We're going to get into it.
They're absurd. And then we have a Love, Marry, Quarantine, which if you're new to the show, we do it every single Friday. Basically, we rank things. We're either loving it, we're marrying it for life, we're quarantining it. Get it the hell away from us. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, so biggest news in Clippers-ness today, kind of before we get into post-draft stuff, Jamichael Green turning down his player option, something I kind of thought, you know, I thought he was going to go either way, but he's worth more than $5 million.
Definitely, definitely. Well, and here's the thing too, right? He waited around last free agency while we were waiting to make our big move. He was patient with us. He could have sought a payday then.
Yes.
It makes sense that he's opting out because he is worth more, and this is such a like sparse free agent class. That it makes sense he has suitors. But like I said, since he did wait around, I'm pretty confident that he does intend to sign with the Clippers.
Yeah.
I mean, at least that's, you know, that's his hope. Unless, you know, I mean, if someone makes him a knockout deal, I'm not sure. Then everything is.
Yeah, I wouldn't blame him. And we have his bird right, so we can go over the cap. But I think like 3 for 18 seems like a pretty legit number.
So he's going to turn down 5 for 6 a year? Well, I guess it's
for
a longer...
For security, yeah.
Yeah, for a longer-term deal. I think that could get it done. I think, yeah, 3 for 18, 2 for 16? I don't know.
I mean, 2 for 16 I wouldn't be mad at with an option of some kind at the end. That'd be good. But we say this because at Max Power, kind of we were just asking people post-draft reactions on Twitter. He said, as long as the Harrell, Jamichael Morris questions are unanswered, I'm stressing. The more moves that get made elsewhere, the more I'm convinced we can't just run it back, which is interesting. He also said, also not sure whether letting Sham go will prove to be the right move. The point about other teams making moves resonates with me. I kind of feel that we're like, it is that thing where, you know, we did make a move, which is great, but like, it's that thing, right, where we don't know when these things are coming. So I feel like it's less active than it actually is. Like, it's not like the Clippers aren't trying to find trades.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think another way to look at it, though, is this roster is fairly complete. Like, that's why I've kind of thought that we don't need that blockbuster trade. There are spots to tighten up the roster for sure. I, like, okay with running it back. Like, I do think that, like, adding another facilitator would be solid, you know, if that's available. But if not, I mean, I'm like pretty fine with running it back minus Trez.
Yeah, for sure.
And seeing how that looks in the regular season.
Yeah, especially with Kennard now, who is a little bit better distributor than Shamet was. And
yeah, and as far as the right move, I mean, it's hard to tell. Both these guys are young. Kennard just already has a larger skill set than Landry Shamet offensively. And it's like not really even close. Kennard's the better finisher. He's a much better playmaker. You know, and he's also just a great shooter as well.
Yeah, so, exactly. Like, it's not that far of a drop off.
If we can keep him healthy, I think that, you know, it's solid. It's, you know, it's, to me, it's kind of low risk, but pretty, I mean, decent reward.
Well, especially after, so a few people commented that the Kennard trade was kind of like poor asset management to trade into the 33rd spot, which was broken down very well by Lucas Hahn in the 213 Hoops article. But just like we said, we learned right before we recorded this episode that we got 4 second-round picks from Detroit in this deal. I mean, which is kind of insane. That is so many second round picks, I feel like. I'm not saying like in a good way, but it's just like everyone on Twitter is like, what?
Like, they love giving Clippers second round picks, and we love trading their second round picks for other stuff.
For sure. Someone, a Pistons fan on Twitter wondered if there was maybe some medical red flags, which is why they attached it as like a sweetener or something like that. Because they also did take on Rodney Magruder's salary, which frees us up. So I don't know if I believe that 100%. But it's not out of the... I mean, I think it's a fair question to ask.
I mean, here's the thing. He's an expiring. It's only $5 million. If the medical stuff is that bad, you cut him. And it, like, depending on the amount of games he plays, it doesn't even count towards your cap. So
yeah, it's one of these things. It's just such a out of left field move, I guess. Because even before the full trade was announced, I wasn't expecting to get any picks thrown in.
Yeah.
But the fact that it was four just makes you kind of be like, what the fuck?
It's very strange.
JR_in_my_lifetime said draft didn't move the needle for me. Moving Magruder's contract was the most important piece. Ready for free agency to begin. Let's go full MLE.
That's the mid-level exemption.
Yes. A lot of people were excited to see Magruder go. I was like, I know there was so much vitriol for Gruder. He wasn't the best, but he didn't like cost us games. In fact, he won us one in the bubble.
Yeah, I don't know. The Magruder thing, it's difficult to me because I don't feel like it was ever really fully figured out what that role was.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to say. As a dude, he was a great guy.
Super nice dude. Yeah, and he got hurt too in the preseason, which like I think that injury really derailed him because he went so long in between playing.
Yeah.
You know, he'd kind of get thrown in these weird spots.
Yeah, and he came to the Clippers hurt. I don't know. I think it's one of those things. Like, once again, it's like a $5 million contract. It's not like a world ender for the Clippers.
Yeah.
Would have been great to, like, if you could have gotten some more value out of him, got a little bit more out of him. But, you know, this works out pretty well for the Clippers on paper, and we'll just have to see what it actually looks like on the court.
Yeah, saved us $2 million, which is great. At Phenomenal Loser, fantastic handle, said, honestly, pretty happy with Oturu. A lot of top NBA centers come out of either late first round or second round, like Zoo, Jokic, DeAndre Jordan, Gobert, etc. Pretty high praise. Pretty good. I mean, that's a pretty elite group of centers right there. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I hope a shot comes along. It's kind of similar to the Fee pick. Big dude who could shoot. Good rebounder. Like, it's going to be good in the G League.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, I got to agree. I don't know what the reality of this is, but I mean, the stats look good. They jump off the page. He's a double-double guy. Physically, he's bigger than Fee. He's like, he actually has the physicality of someone who could play the center.
He uses it.
So I think that that's interesting. I know that a lot of Clippers people were not that hot on the pick. They thought this was kind of a waste. And I mean, I guess there was other stuff on the board. You know, there were some wings or even some guards that people were higher on.
Yeah, a lot of people were hounding that there wasn't a point guard pick right there.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I think that's like, you know, that's early enough to where that is, or, you know, that to me is a reasonable sort of gripe to have with that.
For sure.
I don't know enough about this draft. I was a little bit zoned out, to be perfectly honest. So I'm not positive. I don't know a whole lot about this guy other than what I've seen, just looking him up and watching the highlights.
Yeah, I was surprised he went over Yurt 7, that guy that we profiled.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, just in general, I was like, oh, I thought Yurt 7 maybe get his name called. Stu Quinn says, gonna miss Landry. Excited about Kennard. Heard his knee issues are apparently behind him, which is another good note. Also, Step Back Tree on Twitter was like, I feel like he made a good point. He was just like, if the Clippers got to believe the knee injuries are behind him. They did not do their due diligence on this. He said, scrub doesn't move the needle, but has lots of upsides. Dream now is a trade for George Hill, sign Morris and Jermichael. We're going to talk a little bit about the possibility of adding George Hill in the next segment. The scrub, I'm kind of in love with the scrub upside. Like, I was watching the dude's got crazy athleticism. Worst case scenario, there's going to be some great highlights from the G League, and he's going to win some goofy award that the team has invented.
Oh, yeah, agreed. I mean, this is, yeah, once again, low risk. If it works out, that's awesome.
Yeah, also, anyone who gets a scrub Clippers jersey, please let us know. We'd love to have you on the show.
Ooh, that's a good one. I like
that'd
that.
That'd be a deep pull. Coming up, we're going to be talking just kind of some more posts, some free agency stuff, as well as a couple new additions of the Clippers. But first, man, we got to give a shout out to Built Bar.
You gots to.
Built Bar is even delicious now. It has 6 new flavors, including caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. My favorite of the 12 original flavors is peanut butter. It's very solid, kind of an old school guy when it comes to those flavors. 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, only 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams net carbs. Built Bars are great. They're great for the health conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, great for the keto diet. Right now, if you need a free cooler, you should check out Built Bar. While supplies last, you get a free cooler with purchase. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON in all capital letters, one word, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
Okay, so now we're back and we're talking more new Clippers.
Dude, just keep adding them.
Clippers signed a couple of undrafted folks last night, and then... Are there possibly some more new Clippers on the way?
Maybe. No, it was pretty cool. The Clips signed Jordan Ford and Malik Fitz, who were teammates at St. Mary's.
Love it.
Which is this trend now of, you know, we got Manon Fee, Kofi Inukturu, and then Desi Rodriguez and Angel Delgado played together at Seton Hall, too, when we got those guys.
Oh, that's right.
How do we feel about this kind of teammate drafting idea?
I mean... Hasn't really worked out yet, but it's still young. It's still the incubation is still in its infancy.
I like the idea of it because if you bring two guys on, especially in this, you know, Jordan Ford, Malik Fitz situation, it's not, you know, it's obviously not as high of a risk as when we did Manon Fee. But you got to think having, you know, their teammate there, a comfortability thing could really jumpstart either of the players in terms of like, playing well against better competition and unlocking something more that maybe would be harder to get or not there if they didn't have someone so familiar that they played with next to them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that it helps you in a new and very intimidating sort of situation. And
yeah.
I think that it's helpful, I mean, you know, even in the G League, maybe even especially in the G League, because you're playing at a much higher level of competition.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
And this is the first time that you're outside of like very regimented life and basketball. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
through high school. Yeah, you do all the AAU stuff. And then in college, like there's a very rigorous structure. And then you hit the pros and it's like, you know, you're a step below the big show.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a lot of stuff that goes into like figuring out on the court that revolves around these young men, like figuring out their lives at the same time too. So I think that is like especially helpful to be like, you know, you at least know one person.
Yeah, for sure. That's a really good call, especially in a city, you know, if they actually are staying in Los Angeles, like it's a bigger city to get drafted to if you're a young man who now maybe has a little more disposable income than you used to. Malik Fitz shot 40% from three, averaged 16 and 7. You know, numbers look good. Shots are great for both these guys. Ford is a crazy scorer. He's only 6'1", but he also shot 40% from three, just under 22 points a game as a senior. I think he was like the 17th. Highest score in the nation this year.
Oh, wow.
Pull-ups, floaters, threes, all on point. Not really great distributor yet, is kind of what I saw from most of the breakdowns.
What's this last note? This I'm most excited about.
He was a nationally ranked chess player.
Okay.
That's awesome. He's got, you know, got in mind for the game. I'm not sure how it's really going to help in the basketball court.
He's a regular Queen's Gambit.
He said the name's Gambit. Queen's Gambit. So those are the for sure new Clippers. Now we're talking... kind of post-draft free agency wants. After adding Kennard, have your free agency kind of wants changed at all?
No.
Yeah, that's fair.
You and I were talking about a little bit before this. Like, I don't... I'm hopeful for the Luke Kennard experience.
the LKE, dude.
You know, like, obviously there's some injury concerns. We don't know about the fit. I'm optimistic about his passing game transitioning well to this team, possibly even improving just because he'll be surrounded by better offensive talent.
Yeah.
The defense is still going to be an issue. And I mean, that's already been an issue on this bench. So I still think we need another, we need another option there. I'm kind of still inclined to go for somebody else, maybe one extra guard. I know.
Does it involve moving Lou?
Not necessarily. Yeah. Just signing somebody who, you know, who can shore up the defense a little bit. And there are guys out there. And then I'm still interested. I know we're talking a lot more as a fan base and on Twitter about like Jamichael being the five, which I'm still all in for.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be opposed though if you can pick up a young athletic big for
a Nerlens.
Yeah, for like the $6 million to $8 million range. So no, mine haven't changed that much. I guess the guard is now possibly even a lower priority, but I still think we need something defensively to shore up that second unit.
That's why I was gonna go the other way. I was gonna say guard's a little higher priority for me now, but not a strictly distributing guard. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, that's right. Yeah,
get us another maybe one of these weird 1.5 guards that the Clippers seem to really like to use, which also might have just been Doc's fault. Who can just, you know, obviously do their job adequately enough, but play some better defense than Luke Kennard and Lou Williams.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of
That backcourt is going to be a sieve.
It's going to be interesting.
And like, maybe you can find a...
Nerlens on there is nice, too, because he can defend, you know, as a big guy, because there's going to be a lot of paint penetration if the backcourt is Lou and...
Yeah. Then maybe you can add a wing or somebody. Like, they don't really even need to do much. They really, truly...
They don't.
They don't even need to score, really. Maybe that's where you bring in Chris Dunn. Just play. Let's go three guard. Let's go back to three guard lineup. Play him at the three. No, I think he's going to be getting paid. He might be getting paid too much. It's not worth it.
Yeah, that's a good call. And we don't know if we're going to keep Trez, which is also this other thing that I'm still just like, what's going to happen with that?
I'm living my life every day as though no.
I think every Clippers fan is. I think most of them are.
And until my world is crushed, and that is not true, I'm going to keep going on about my day.
We're recording this the day that free agency starts, so maybe this whole section will just be completely null. Some interesting news from Justin Russo. Since the Clippers saved $2 million in sending Magruder to the Pistons, they might be able to have both the non-taxpayer MLE and the biannual exception to use, but it requires either Trez or Morris scoring elsewhere. I think we know who we would rather go elsewhere, so we could use both these things. $9.7 million and $4 million for those two exceptions. So, I mean, that's nice. Like, if we get both of those, then I'm like, I'm obviously much more open to bringing in a point or something like that, where it's like...
Yeah, I mean,
I still think points ahead of backup center, I guess.
That's fair.
I don't know.
I think this is great if we can stay under the tax. Obviously, getting that 9.7 mid-level exemption is huge. I mean, you can get, if that's managed on the right player, you can, I mean, that's a good contract.
Yeah, hell yeah. Not really sure what the $4 million does. Not really sure who we could swing. You know what I mean? Like, what $4 million player is going to solidify that back unit?
Well, and it's only biannually, so I don't.
Yeah. recent names to look out for. Aaron Bain seems set to depart from Phoenix. Unrestricted free agent. Only made $5 million last year.
Yeah, I think he's looking at a lower end deal. He's had troubles with health.
What about him as backup center?
I don't love
defense
it.
Defense is still a little rough.
Yeah, I don't
just
love
on the second
it.
Unit as a whole, I mean.
Yeah, and I mean, if we want a shooting, like a rangy shooting five, I already think, we have Jamichael.
Yeah, that's a really good call. And then George Hill apparently is wanted by contenders. He's making $9.5 million this season. I wouldn't be mad at George Hill and the Clippers.
No, I mean, we've kind of talked about this. Like, I like the mold of sort of what he was for the Bucks. I don't know at 9.5. Like, if he's the guy
that seems a little steep.
If he's the guy that we're spending the mid-level exemption on, I don't know that I'm psyched. Can you get that from a trade, or do they have to be signed in?
I'm going to be honest, man. No idea.
Anyways, regardless.
Nice. Good catch, dude.
9.5 is a bit high to me for George Hill at this stage of his career.
Hill or Rondo for 9.5.
It's too much for either.
For sure. But the Clippers might do it.
Too much money.
The Clippers get Rajon Rondo for 9.5 instead of George Hill, I'd be pretty upset. Because I think I'd rather have George Hill.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Rondo is, I mean, a better facilitator. I don't know. George Hill's been lighting it up from three. getting old, but still is willing.
Getting old, you know?
Still is willing to play some defense.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm seeing it. Like, but, you know, Rondo does have that thing where you can kind of spot start him. If, like, you know, like, Lucy's a matchup in terms of how Rondo's moving the ball.
Yeah.
Get a spot start. It's interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what the Clippers do. Hopefully the weekend is uneventful, and all that happens is that we sign Jermichael, we sign Morris, and then Trez goes somewhere else. Like, that's the ideal first weekend of free agency.
Yeah.
Let's all put those good vibes out there for that. Coming up, we're talking a Goofy Award from the Agua Caliente Clippers, and then a classic Shamit-dedicated LMQ.
Okay, so we're back with Shavings, which, if you didn't know, it's where we just kind of dig around and wrap up all the loose ends around the NBA, and then we'll have a Love, Mary, Quarantine for you, which we do every single Friday.
It's a fun time. It was announced today, after all these other Agua Caliente team awards have come out.
It's been a real slow...
slow burn.
Yeah.
They gave out Rookie of the Year. Terrence Mann, who won the Agua Caliente Clippers Team Rookie of the Year Award, also won the Dr. Dribble Team Award from Agua Caliente Clippers. That's a real award that they gave out as a team that they announced. First of all, what is the schedule for these?
Very true. Very true.
Second of all, this is a childish award to give to a grown man.
Was this written on a paper plate?
Who's worked very hard to make the NBA.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I like, part of me kind of loves it just because it's so absurd.
Yeah.
But also, maybe this is just something that you keep team-wide. Maybe this is
an internal award.
Yes, yeah.
I want to know if they gave it to him at a Shakey's when everyone was having, like, a nice big team pizza buffet.
Well, no indoor gatherings. Oh, I'm hoping they're
God
doing stuff
damn
like
it,
that.
COVID! Yeah, this just feels like it's a... Is it a plaque or a trophy also? Because if it's a trophy, I hope it's a Dr. Dribbling.
Stethoscope flying in the wind.
And
he's just like
just hitting him with a cross, like a lab coat billowing behind him.
You know what I'm back on? I hope that this is a trophy.
Yeah, so then I was, you know, is there like a superior screener? Is there a raucous rebounder? The alliteration is really what bothers me.
Yeah.
They made an intern, they were like, What do we got? Come up with some awards with alliteration, please. This did not exist last year, I don't think.
I don't remember this.
We would have, I think.
Yes.
I guess I hope there's more of these. Because I don't know what the goal is.
I don't know. I think it's good for confidence. You know what? I think I'm coming back around to liking these.
The fact that it came out so late and because of what I have to do with confidence is they're like, damn, Terrence posted kind of like a tweet. Seems like he's going through something. What do we got? Okay, here you go, buddy. And no, this is no disrespect to Terrence Mann, who had a fantastic rookie season, all things considered. It's just like, also, they must have mailed this to him.
Yeah.
Like you said,
they might have done a Zoom.
They're like, hey, check your mailbox, dude. He's like, what is this? But yeah, shout out Terrence Mann on the Dr. Dribble Award. Okay, now we are getting a bit of a somber Love, Mary, Quarantine.
Ooh.
The departure of Landry Shamit. Our favorite Landry Shamit moments.
Okay.
In show history, in just, you know, team history. Throw in any of your favorites in here. The Dagger versus Golden State, which is it's maybe the greatest bingo of all time.
Yeah.
Watched that like 50 times yesterday. The never happened but should happen Landry Shamit's Laundry Jam It.
Which was a fictional party.
Yes.
Which that Landry Shamit would host, in which people would just kind of meet up at a laundromat and do their laundry.
You're just hanging out. It's a community event.
Have a couple beers, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Beers are allowed outside. You know, it's a community event. I think this would have been such a great thing. Can still happen in Brooklyn.
That's true.
Now that he's got his new Yankees hat he can wear. And then there was an incident where a reporter asked him a question post-game, where they asked, what happened to your wrist out there? Did you tweak a little bit during the game? And he looked at them dead in the eyes and said, just tweaked my wrist a little during the game. And it was at that moment everyone was like, oh, okay, we got it. You're kind of Kawhi-ish when it comes to the media. Do you have anything else to add as well?
No, I think this is all good.
Bit of a quiet guy.
Yeah, a bit of a quiet... Yeah, not a whole lot of wild memories.
No.
Yeah.
I think that's probably it. Also, He did get COVID, which I forgot. So we can take that one off the table. Which of these do you love marrying in quarantine?
I got to marry the Dagger versus Golden State. That's like...
Can't argue with that.
That's like going to be one of those, I don't know, sort of almost mythical things for me. That season, I mean, if you listen to the show, we talk about that season all the time. It meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like that one. I will remember forever. That will always be Landry Shamet to me. The pass from Shea too, which makes it all the sweeter.
I don't, I didn't need that last
part. And I'm loving the laundry jamming. You know it,
dude. It seemed like such a fun time.
And I don't want to quarantine it because I do kind of like how he's like such a young man, but he's so intense and he's so kind of like blunt, I guess is the word.
He's very blunt. And he is, I mean, when you see him pregame and stuff, like he's locked in on a level that is a mental level that you can just feel is a little more tighter than everybody else. No, I don't respect everybody else.
I have never attained that amount of focus for even a section of minutes in my life. But so I got to quarantine it. I mean, once again, loved his demeanor, but I got to quarantine it because there was like weird stuff where he wasn't talking to the training staff about some of his like kind of knick-knack injuries.
Yeah.
And it kind of piled up.
And that's a good call.
You got to get that shit away. I hope he doesn't do that with the Nets.
100%. Yeah, I mean, I got to marry the Dagger versus Golden State. I think I gotta love the just tweaked my wrist a little thing. Because there's a part of when Landry kind of talks to the press where he knows that he is messing with you much sooner than you realize it. So that's, it's really kind of only seemingly funny to him in the beginning.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the worst way to get messed with. Because you're like, oh yeah, this is really funny. But inside you're like, damn it, he really got me on that one. And then I think, you know what? I got to open this thing up. Nothing's getting quarantined. I'm also going to love Landry Shamet's Laundry Jammet. Landry Shamet's Laundry Jammet.
I mean, you have to.
It's a fun time. The other fictional one that was a good time in that old episode was Wine in a Box with the Vita Zubats.
Yeah.
Where you and Zoo are just slapping the bag. Just having a real dirtball time.
They make fancy wine in a box. No, I'm just kidding.
Do
it's
they?
Not that, no.
Oh, I was like, damn. I wonder how the plastic bag really brings out the tannins or whatever. The terroir of the cardboard, I'm sure, is very interesting. I mean, that about wraps it up, I think, right?
Yeah.
Hope everyone has a good weekend. Free agency starting. Let's strap in. The NBA roller coaster is only getting started.
It's true.
Hope Klay Thompson's doing okay. Pretty rough news with that.
Yeah, and if anything crazy happens, you know, we do the show 5 days a week,
yeah,
Monday through Friday, but if anything crazy happens over the weekend, we will try to respond to it as soon as possible. Might put out an emergency episode or something.
Absolutely. Where can these fantastic people tell their friends to listen to us?
You can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. We're on Google Podcasts, if I didn't already say that. You can also tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. If you haven't subscribed, please do so. Leave a rating or review wherever you can leave them. I mean, we mostly check them on iTunes. I don't know how to leave reviews on other things, to be honest with you, but if you figure it out, let us know. We'd love to know what you think.
Yeah, it'd be very helpful for us too, so we could write our own podcast highly. Monday's episode, hopefully, you know, some news on the Jermichael contract front. Hopefully that gets kind of tidied up quick. Free agency rumors will no doubt be swirling, and of course whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. I have been positive Chuck Mockler,
and I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.